Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The love God bestows through His Son is a love we're meant to share, even with those some consider unlovable. Love only really works when it's seen in action, as it was when Jesus gave His life for us so long ago. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We've come to gift number three. Join us now as we hear more about Jesus, the gift of love.
When you get married, and some of you have learned this possibly too late, you not only get your mate, but you get the family too. I don't know of any instance, though perhaps it has happened, where someone says, I want to marry you, but I don't want your family. I don't want your relatives. I just want you alone. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the truth is, like it or not, you get all of us. You get all of His brothers, you get His sisters, you get everybody who's related to Jesus, and here we are in all of our perfections and imperfections, which should really be highlighted, and here we are in all of these shortcomings, and the Bible says, I'm putting you together that you might love one another. That's why, you know, there's emphasis today on the computer and how you can go to church on the computer. And I suppose that all throughout the world, there are people listening to this message today because we stream live all over the world and have heard from at least 80 different countries. So we're glad for that. And sometimes, if the time zone is right, I listen to church services on the internet too. But there's nothing that can really take the place of individually getting to know other believers and showing them love, despite the fact that perhaps they hurt us or they perhaps are so imperfect that we find it very difficult to be around them. And of course, they feel the very same way about us. The Bible says, don't tell me that you love God and you hate your brother. Because if you love God and you've received His divine forgiveness and you've received His grace, you will be kindly disposed even to those who have done evil against you, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. I've often said it and I'm saying it again. The world can out-entertain us. The world can out-give us. The world can outnumber us, but let it never be said that the world can outlove us. Because we have within us the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And so what John is really saying is that the love of God is lived out in our hearts. Let me nail this down for all of us by making two concluding statements to help us to understand the implications. First of all, love is very costly. Love is very costly. The Bible says that God gave, and I read it too quickly, didn't I? God gave His one and only Son. This is verse 9. God sent His one and only Son into the world. Cost God. In Italy, there is a church with a painting that I think represents very good theology. The painting is of the crucifixion of Jesus with the nails through His hands and His feet, but there's also a shadow behind Jesus, and that shadow is God the Father, and it is as if the nails have gone through Him as well. He also suffered. You know, in theology, there is a disagreement. There are those who say that God cannot have emotions, because the argument is that if you say God has emotions, then you're saying that God is changeable, and I am the Lord, and I change not. I disagree with that theology. I read the Bible and I find that God is a God of deep emotion. That's why in the Old Testament it talks about God loving and God being angry and God responding. Let us say it categorically that when Jesus died on the cross, considering the love between the Father and the Son and the relationship of the Trinity, considering all that, it is God who suffered. It is God who suffered. Now, he suffered voluntarily. That's the thing. Some of us suffer and it isn't voluntary at all. It's imposed upon us. But God chose to suffer to redeem us and to show us love. And love is always costly. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he said, love your enemies, be kind to them, do good to them, because then you are like the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, for he also is kind to ungrateful and evil men. You want to be God-like? Love your enemies, do good to them, pray for them, bless those who curse you, said Jesus. And you see, that love costs us something. It costs us something when we exercise it. It also costs us something when it is withheld from us. You know the price of love, to be in love with someone and then they reject you, and it hurts a lot more. Love has within it a cost. And when we ask ourselves the question, where is God, when we look at natural disasters and when we see evil on the world, what we do is we hurry to the cross, we hurry to Jesus Christ, and there we see love very clearly manifest. Wasn't it a man by the name of Frederick Lehman who wrote the words, could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, he wrote. And even though the scroll went from sky to sky, I didn't practice that particular quoting it before I came here, so it ended a little roughly, but you do get the point, don't you? God loves you, and it's costly to him. But he loves you anyway, and we should love in return. There's a second lesson, and that is that love actually heals. Love actually heals. You'll notice it says this in the text, verse 17, by this is love perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. What John is saying is this, that if you are not sure of God's love toward you, you're going to live in fear of judgment. And of course, only those who are born again have that great sense of confidence, another word that John likes to use and uses throughout his book. But what John is saying is that God loves you so much that if you knew as a believer that his love toward you was totally unconditional and that he loves you and loves you and loves you anyway, imagine the confidence that you would have in God's presence. Imagine how that would free you in your life. No need to magnify what you're able to do. No need to try to build up your image. No need to try to be the richest person on the block. No need for that, because you're loved by God. Yesterday, those of us who were here at the women's luncheon, we heard a marvelous testimony of a young woman who grew up and knew something was wrong in her family, something about her, she was treated differently. At the age of 18, before she goes to college, she is told that she is adopted, and her aunt actually turned out to be her biological mother. You can imagine, and her biological father was in prison for selling drugs. You can imagine this great sense of identity, this identity crisis. And over again, this young woman used the word love. How love healed her, God's love, the love of other people. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John, we're still there, chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I want to say, wow. I don't know all the answers to tragedy. I don't know why God doesn't prevent tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes. I don't know all of God's purposes in allowing an evil man to do so much damage to precious children. It's beyond my imagination. But I do know this, that those who express their faith and trust in Jesus are special objects of his love. God loves the world, but he loves those who belong to him in a special sense. And we could show this from John 17. And his eye is upon you as a believer, and he loves you, and he loves you, and someday you will be like him and reign with him in heaven forever. And I suppose that at that time, many of the issues that we struggle about will be clear. Love heals. There was a man by the name of George Matheson. He was born in 1842, and he was blind. Actually, he got 2 degrees from the University of Glasgow because his sisters helped him. They read to him. He memorized all of the material. He became a preacher. He memorized the scriptures. He memorized his sermons. Was the only way in which he could do that. But he also went through a time of great doubt, a time of questioning. And the doubts were so persistent and the depression was so heavy that he actually left the ministry for a while and said, I can't pastor with authenticity because my own inside, my heart, just doesn't have what it takes in the midst of it. But he bounced back. He began to understand that God loved him despite his limitations, despite his own doubts, God loved him. Have you ever realized that John the Baptist, Jesus said, no man born of woman is as great as John the Baptist. Do you know when Jesus said that? It's when John was in prison full of doubts as to whether Jesus was the Messiah. Nothing wrong with honest doubts. Dishonest doubts, now that's a different story. But George Matheson bounced back and wrote these lovely words. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in their ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Love that will not let me go. When you're looking for reasons to believe that God loves the world, hurry to the cross. And of course, it is the cross of Jesus Christ that saves us. We celebrate the crib, but it's the cross that has redeemed us. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I've written a new book entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be Light in the Darkness. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours, and I trust that you will be generous as we come to the end of the year. We constantly stand in need of your support.
Michael Youssef says, Erwin Lutzer has given a challenging wake-up call to the 21st century church. Read and reread this book. It will encourage you to shine in a world that is dark and getting darker. The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.